Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You haven't really talked about the Knicks at all. And now we are sitting here on June 17th, where nowhere closer to them picking a coach. I know they're going to interview Mike Brown and Taylor Jenkins this week, but and nor should they rush. There's no reason to rush at this point. I don't think there's another vacancy in the league, so they're really the only team looking. But as you get further and further away from this now, have you... I think you're a Knicks fan. Have you turned your attention now to what is coming, or have you gotten over this whole thing? Because I know you didn't like the move that they made.
No, I hated it. Like I stated earlier, it felt like an end of an era that we were just coming. I think Knicks fans would finally realize we didn't have a product that was a laughing stock, right? Like people are starting to respect the Knicks in its entirety, from front office down to the floor, and to see Tibbs get the boot after arriving in the Eastern Conference Finals. Valid, we didn't get the output we wanted. But I think a lot of us walked away into next season like, yeah, we're coming along. Like, this thing is trending upwards, right? And to see this team now in a place of disarray because Tibbs is no longer in the building, I don't know where we go from there, right? Because I feel like if anybody set the team in a trajectory where they could be respected, they're competing hard, we got superstars in Brunson and Towns, and you can, you know, Mikal Bridges and everybody else, OG and company, man, it felt like we had a system that can travel. I think that's the biggest thing with sports. When you have a product on the floor, can they travel? Meaning, when any building they step into, people want to see them, and two, they can win on the road.
Right? We know they could do that.
And we know we can do that. We have that. So to see that all kind of now dwindling in the wind is like, how did we get here? Like, there was a, before Tibbs, we were the most incompetent franchise
in
all of sports. Now it's like we open that door back again, and we're like, "What? How do you fire a coach in Tibbs and don't have anything to reload or to show face for?"
They've certainly created more question marks than they needed to. They were, you know, coming off the loss, I think we all agree they needed to get a little bit better because the way things shook out, they weren't as good as Indiana. I think what you said,
Indiana
too,
just had another gear, let's be honest.
They did.
And I think it was bigger than just the bench rotation.
Our bench was...
competitive, they just wasn't on the level as Indiana.
Fair enough.
Just had another gear.
I think when you look at the way the season did end to where we are now, the question would remain to me was, were they good enough? Clearly, if you're hearing rumors about other players the Knicks are going to go after, that would tell you that even the front office doesn't think the roster's good enough. So that would tell me, that also means the coach has taken them to a level that matches their talent level. I think they could have beaten Indiana.
But I don't feel like we hit a ceiling, do you?
I don't either. Okay. I think they were still... on the ascent to where they're going, and now you're, you know, it's interesting how no matter what host, no matter what expert says it, the narrative is he's not a championship head coach. Well, you know what? You're not until you are. You know, you're talking about Taylor Jenkins and Mike Brown. Last time I checked, neither one of them won either. And Mike Brown had LeBron James.
But I also
think they won with LeBron James. They went to the finals. They didn't win the finals with him.
And I also think it's a horrible look that a lot of these doors are getting slammed in their face.
I agree.
I think that's even more of a pungent smell when you talk about, from a standpoint, a team that landed in the Eastern Conference Championship. You have stars littered on this roster, and coaches aren't even attempting or having a conversation with the Knicks.
Well, the one that's out there is, well, because they're not allowed, because they're under contract.
But what about Billy Donovan?
So, well, the Bulls said no. Like, you can't just start talking to them. The one that keeps popping up, even though the report over the weekend was the Mavericks, stern no, not a chance, that keeps coming up that he's still the front runner. Okay, I guess. Apparently Dallas is now going to say, talk to him. I don't see that happening, but maybe it will. And I think if they ended up with Jason Kidd, they would have done well. The problem with that is they're not close to getting Jason Kidd, and the answers out there are not NBA championship level. Taylor Jenkins, yes, he's had a couple of back-to-back 50-win seasons. You know who else did that? With the Knicks, and you know what worked with the Knicks? Tom Thibodeau. So, like, these alternate plans and coaches. I mean, the Knicks had Pat Riley. They didn't win the NBA championship. The Knicks had Jeff Van Gundy. They didn't win the NBA championship. And we treat Thibodeau like he's a piece of trash, that he reached his ceiling. I don't buy it.
I'm going to throw a name out there. Now, obviously, you're just shooting. Is Mark Jackson really a nut? Is that not a serious consideration?
I don't think he is. Okay. I don't think. And I know Stephen A. Smith was on that last week or a few days ago.
Correct.
And there have been teams that have also called for their team, like fans calling for their team to call on Mark Jackson. I don't know what it is. I know he had a couple of odd things happen off the floor.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's weird. It's almost like he's gone. And we saw him on TV on ABC. He did a good job. He knows the league. For whatever reason, he never really seems to be a candidate. And I don't know why that is.
Somebody call Tibbs back.
Yeah, if that was Gio. No.
Bend the knee.
That is not happening.
Bend the knee and go back.
That is not going. There's no way that's going to happen. Terry in Farmingdale. What's up, Terry?
Hey, I was just wondering, do you think the Knicks would have the audacity to come out and say, you know, unless they get Jason Kidd, would they have the audacity to come out and say, yeah, we got the guy we wanted. You know, this is the guy we wanted the whole time, you know.
Well, here's the problem with
that. We don't even know who's the guy they want.
Well, we don't. But, Terry, more than that, you're talking...
Well, you kind of knew it was going to be Jason Kidd, right? I mean, that's an eight.
That, too. But the other issue with what you're asking is they don't talk to the media. So, for them, they'll have a press conference with, I think, invited guests. But I don't think they have the all-out press conferences anymore. So, you might get scripted questions or the one-on-one. You know, well, they'll do it for TV. That having been said, no, they couldn't do that because clearly their number one choice was Jason Kidd. I don't think... Now, the Johnny Bryant stuff was out there initially.
Yeah.
That has really cooled off, and the Kidd thing seems to be who they really want to go after. But last time I checked, he didn't win an NBA championship either.
No,
they got there, but they didn't win. How come he didn't reach his ceiling? Did he win in Milwaukee? No.
No, but I think there's a lot of talk about him having different ideologies and kind of having different systems.
Yeah, and Brunson's relationship.
Yeah, exactly.
I understand all that. And I'm not saying they wouldn't win with him. My point is you can't just have this blanket comment that this one's not a championship coach, but these guys we want to bring in who also haven't won an NBA championship are. That's not fair.
Well, I think the wishful thinking was like if you bring in a Jason Kidd, that may warrant a Giannis. That was...
Well, how are you getting him? A lot of people say that. With what? They want Karl Anthony Towns. Like if I'm the Bucks and I'm getting rid of Giannis.
If you're able to let go of Towns, right? Let's say a Bridges.
It's a big if.
Right. All this is hypothetical. We're living in this world right now. You get rid of that, but you're also able to acquire Jaren Jackson Jr. from Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
His dad was assistant in the G League for the Knicks organization. Now you're talking about having Jason Kidd, possibly Giannis, Jaren Jackson Jr. and Jalen Brunson. I can live in that world.
But why couldn't the coach you had live in that world?
Well, because, my only knock on Tibbs, we went to our bench way too late in the playoffs. Like, Shamet, Precious Achiuwa, those guys should have been in rotation during that Celtics series.
Okay.
The fact that when we got to the Eastern Conference Championship against the Pacers, and we didn't play them to game three.
You think that's why you lost to the Pacers?
I think we were smoked. I think physically we were smoked.
I think you lost because you missed free throws down the stretch in game one. And OG and Anobi dropped the ball that almost hit him in the face. That's why you lost that game and, in turn, why you lost the series. I think if they win that game, they win the series. I really do.
Well, you can't lose game one. You're up 18 points and you allow Naismith to hit
and
with eight three-pointers in a row.
Confidence.
Oh, my God.
That place, after they beat the Celtics, New York City was on fire. If they would have finished out that game against the Pacers, you're thinking NBA
they would have had
finals,
to call. They would have had to call the Navy SEALs, damn the National Guard.
Yes, they were not losing
nuts.
That series.
Yeah, I agree.
They weren't. That's why, to me, it's all excuses. And the fact that what you're talking about, again, proves that they're not good enough. If you're talking about Giannis and getting, you know, so I guess we weren't good enough then. You can't have it both ways. Was it the coach or was it the fact the team wasn't good enough? Because if you're going to have wholesale changes, you're telling me and admitting the team wasn't good enough. Oh, I got him. I got him. He's speechless.
Because it's frustrating.
I agree.
It's frustrating being a Knicks fan who was tweeting all my friends, go to hell, this is our year. Bing bong. Right? I went around all playoffs and bing bong. You know, I was the arrogant Knicks fan that the nation hated to see. I was the guy who was climbing the billboards. You know, I was the guy who's hitting the Indiana Pacers fans over the head with trash. I was that guy.
Mm-hmm.
So to see us end in that fashion, it's heartbreaking.
I know it was.
And to see our coach that I was proud to say is our coach, Like, Tibbs represented that blue cup of coffee that the New Yorkers walk around with on their way to work. Tibbs with the three clonk, the lettuce, right? The damn lettuce. I was proud of the three strands of the lettuce. The fact that he graced that sideline with the scrowl, that grimace, it felt very Parcells-like to me. Mm-hmm. So to see that era in, when we just, yeah, we lost to a better Pacers team, I give you that. But it felt like we were on the rise. So, yeah, it's hard for me to swallow where we're at right now. And I'm a fan of World Wide West. I like Leon Rose, right? And to feel like James Dolan was like, ugh, enough, curtain call? Like, I'm heartbroken by it.
Yeah, because
this is the main reason I'm not watching the NBA Finals as thoroughly as I would.
That's what Josh Hart said, too. Like, he just can't bring him, or Jalen Brunson. It's on the Roommates podcast. Said cannot bring himself to turn it on. Hart said he watched it for like 5 minutes and turned it on.
Every time I've turned on the game, I've watched it a total of 20 minutes. And then I go to YouTube highlights, play it. And then I read.
That annoys you.
And I write. And then I'm just like, man.
Yeah.
Because I went to game 5 in Boston when we got smoked by the Celtics. And I was the arrogant Knicks fan that went up to the Boston Garden and was talking crazy to all these Celtics fans with 50 Dominicans and 20 Puerto Ricans. And it looked like the Caribbean World Series. I was going crazy. So I was that guy. So now it's like I got this mudslinging in my face, and it's unnecessary. Especially when we finally got a team we love and we embrace. The last team we loved and embraced like this was our 90s Knicks. That's the reason if you're at the Garden and you see Starks and you see Ewan and you see LJ and all those guys, they didn't win anything. They didn't do anything. But we love them like Greek gods.
Yep.
And this is how I started to feel about this team, this New York Knicks team that we love this year. And now it's like, man, how are we going in reverse?
One before the break, Eric in Rivervale. What's up, Eric?
Jerry, Willie, how are we doing, boys?
Good, how are you doing?
Love that you guys are talking Knicks here. And I mean, I completely agree with you guys. I was also in the same camp that I wanted to keep Tibbs. I wanted to give it another run. And I don't understand all these people that are saying, well, the Knicks have a plan. I would love to know what that is. And facts. If their PR team is part of it, then that team needs to be fired. Because what are we doing? Like, to me, like, as soon as this happened, you knew it was Jason Kidd or bust. That's it. Period. Stop. It's going to be Jason Kidd. And the problem with that is that if that doesn't happen and he doesn't, you know, create some sort of circus and drama to try and get out of Dallas, then it's going to be Johnny Bryant. They're going to try and sell us that Johnny Bryant is who they really wanted this whole time, and it's going to be amazing. And my concern with that is that this reeks of Dolan, and then the next person to go is going to be Leon Rose.
That is correct.
And then we're back to where we were for 20 years.
Yep. That is correct.
And that terrifies me.
And Eric, that is the biggest concern of all, is that if he walks out the door, the guy that really helped build this, now you're starting from zero again.
Yeah.
So we shall see. It's very... The predicament they have put themselves in is interesting.
But Jerry, before we go, yeah. The problem is we shouldn't be here.
I agree. I'm with you. From day one, I've said
damn the loss. Like, yeah, we lost. That's sports. But we shouldn't be here, like where we could be possibly back to square one.
Should be worrying about the draft and free agency.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's just so unfortunate, and this is what the Tibbs firing did, was we're talking about this team like they had a massive failure season. Like they've been running some sort of crap organization for the last couple of years when it's been the exact opposite of that. You know? Like,
yeah.
These are the discussions. It's silly. Like, I mean, I started this segment talking about how close the Knicks were, you know, and then the conversation devolves into all the mistakes they made, which it really shouldn't because they were so close. But the reason why the conversation goes that way is because when you fire the coach, it feels like you failed. And they did not, you know. I mean, they had a really good season. They should have been better. But, I mean, they also did take a next step and probably should have won this Eastern Conference Finals. But,
you know, I think back to when Jim Dolan did the Roommates podcast with Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson, remember he was talking about, you know, how much money they spent, the team that they built, and they're going to be here for a while.
Yeah.
And all right, so it felt very felt like very like kumbaya. Like the owner was there with the players, and the players respected the owner, and everybody seemed to be getting along. And then, you know, after they beat the Celtics, then they come out of the garden, and Jim gives the ball to the little girl in the group of people that were sitting out there waiting for the guys to come out of the garden. You're figuring, man, this is the high point of the Knicks season right now. It's the high point of the last 25 years.
Mm.
That moment right there was amazing.
Yeah, it absolutely was.
And then literally 10 days later, the head coach is fired.
Yeah, and as a fan base, even with the Mets, when you're on this losing streak, you're like, here we go again, losing in Atlanta. You see the coach fired. Here we go again, making a bad decision. You know, it's because of all the years of feeling that way, and hopefully it doesn't work out so negatively firing Tibbs, but it still feels bad. By the way, speaking of Josh Hart, him and the Nets fans are going back and forth. I don't know if you've seen this. He made some sort of comment about the Nets in a derogatory way, much like we do here on his podcast, the Roommates podcast. So Josh Hart posted a video of him playing St. Andrews. So his wife bought him a Christmas gift, which was to go play the old course. And he posts a video of him on 18. And a Nets fan, you know, notorious BK Nets, a man who's devoted his life to running a Nets X account, quote tweeted that and said, "Death taxes and the Knicks golfing in June. MSG, the world's emptiest arena." And then Josh Hart fired back, "That's a good one. Now Google my record against y'all since I became a Knick," which obviously is very, very good. But the Nets fans and Josh Hart hating on each other. The slag nut Nets.
The slag nut Nets. But, you know, we need that. We need a little bit of a rivalry between the two franchises.
I mean, there was for a little bit when Durant and Kyrie were here at this point.
Not playing.
Not so much. Jesse in Middletown, New Jersey. What's going on, Jesse?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Great, Jesse. What's up?
So, when the Knicks hired Tibbs, I feel like the Knicks had, before that, the Knicks had very little hope. The coaches they had were terrible. So, when they hired him, you had a lick of hope, which is unusual for Knicks fans. He was a guy who had proven success in this league. He was the perfect combination for New York. He rides his guys, but his guys typically love him. And I think that was the case for his whole tenure. I do feel like his players loved him. And if I'm wrong about that, then I'm wrong about this. But I think the Knicks are going to look back at this, and it's going to be the straw that broke the camel's back of this Knicks run. But I also feel like this is like the trend in sports right now. Like this is the climate. If you don't reach the tip of the iceberg in your short tenure, then their teams are just going to move on. And this is, I think, basketball is the most extreme case of this nowadays. And, you know, it's. I really think we're going to look back and we're going to say this is what did the Knicks in.
How about if you wake up on Monday and you find out that Mike Brown is the head coach of the Knicks? You happy?
Are you kidding me?
No.
No.
I'm asking
no
you.
Way. Who no do
you,
way.
All right,
no,
all right,
no,
so no. I'd say if you had your choice of a head coach right now for the New York Knicks, who would it be other than Tom Thibodeau?
So when they did let him go, I had two names that I would be excited about. Neither of them, which I think are ever going to happen. One of them is Jay Wright. The other one's is Hurley. So, you know.
Yeah, well.
Those aren't going to happen. And that's why, like, and this guy, like, Gio, you said it. This coach, like, they were so close to getting there, and they lost to a team who made it to Game 7 of the NBA Finals against another top three coach in the NBA in Rick Carlisle. So, like, he had the Knicks fighting. They've been the best they've ever been in my lifetime, and you know, you have the best season yet in your tenure, and you let him go. It's not going to look good long term, I don't think.
Yeah, well, I tend to agree, but I'm hoping that that there's things that were going on in the organization where we didn't see, weren't privy to, and this made more sense to do it, and then we'll see a new coach come in and get better play out of the Knicks for longer in the postseason. I don't feel that way, but you got to hope for it. This guy was also, it was funny, Jesse was misusing phrases. I don't know if it's called malaprops or something, but he goes, if you're a coach and you don't get to the tip of the iceberg...
You're at the tip of the iceberg. Yeah, right.
And then he also said this will be the straw that breaks the camel's back, which is not I mean, firing the coach is not the straw that breaks the camel's back. Like, that's like many, many decisions, and then finally there's one little decision that ends up breaking the... So he was just throwing stuff out there and hoping that it stuck.
Somebody's got to ask Jim Dolan after the Lakers were sold for $10 billion. Would he consider selling the Rangers and Knicks and MSG? I mean, it's got to be those two teams along with that building. I don't know, given some of the political football nature about MSG and whether they're going to move it or not going to move it, or they're going to try to revamp Pennsylvania Station, which they've already revamped. They want to make it even bigger and nicer. So that means the Garden would have to move. I mean, wouldn't it be time that if you were ever going to sell this team or these teams in this situation, wouldn't that be the moment? Wouldn't that be the moment right now?
Yeah, I mean, we'd say that this is the highest moment, but these values of these franchises keep growing and growing. I mean, you saw we were shocked at the Celtics going for what they went for, and then you had the Lakers number almost double that.
You know, by the way, one of the other teams that was sold was the Suns.
Yep, Ishbia.
Ishbia bought the Suns. You had the Waltons buy the Broncos. You had, obviously, this guy, Mark Walter, buying the Lakers now.
The Josh Harris group buying the Commanders.
Right, and you also had Mark Cuban stepping away from the Mavericks.
And the casino people taking the Mavericks. Yeah.
Adelson's.
Yeah, so maybe he does consider
I don't know. I mean, like, if there's ever a moment, and, you know, he's got some of the smartest financial people around him. If there's ever a moment and he just wants to continue to build these spheres around the world, this would be the moment.
Yeah. Cash out, build your spheres.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's. I don't think it's real. I don't think he would ever consider selling, but somebody would have to. Like, I would think Jeannie Buss wouldn't sell unless somebody came to her and gave her some number that she couldn't turn down.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
My pal Joe DeMeo, SNY.TV, big Mets fans, does the Mets podcast, and also knows their prospects. He just chimed in about the Devers stuff because you were asking about the trade.
Mm-hmm.
He says, as far as we know, four teams have talked to Boston about Devers, Braves, Padres, Blue Jays, Giants. So you should be happy that it's not the Blue Jays, at least staying within the division. Mm-hmm. Good for the Red Sox trading matter. Okay, that was number one. Number two, and this is more pertinent here. Do you trust Ian Begley?
Yeah, I do. I think he's been doing a really good job.
Me too.
I do.
The door is not completely closed.
On Tibbs coming back?
No.
Oh,
no.
I didn't even say that. Well, okay. Because we were talking about that the other day. I don't know. Who knows anymore?
I thought you wanted Tibbs out of here. Well, you excited about that?
It depends who comes in.
Ian Begley, the door is not completely closed on the Knicks and Jason Kidd. This according to people familiar with the dynamic in Dallas. Other outlets, is right from Ian's social media here, I'm seeing it on SNY, Knicks videos. Other outlets reported as recently as last week. Remember, we said that at the time where the Knicks were told no, but it's still other outlets were reporting last week the Kidd was still a possibility. And as of today, that remains the case.
Yeah, I mean, I like Jason Kidd. I'm not going to be dancing on top of the table if the Knicks announce that they hire Jason Kidd to be their coach. I like him. I wouldn't say that I'm enamored with him. He's good.
Right.
He's good.
Enamored.
You don't say he's good.
Enamored is strong. I'm just saying that, remember, I'm going from a couple weeks ago, whatever it was, I don't even remember now, last week it might have been, I was down to two candidates. Who the hell was the third that was, Udoka. I had three. Udoka, Van Gundy, Kidd were my three.
Yeah.
Udoka quickly ruled out. Yeah. Van Gundy doesn't seem like it's a realistic possibility.
Never even talked to him, I don't think they will.
And the main reason for Kidd is because it felt like at least, okay, well, if they hire Kidd... Remember we talked about this, the back channeling that probably was
100%,
going on?
100%,
yeah. So it might have made it feel like there was more of a plan than it seems now. I'm not saying Jason Kidd's a championship head coach. I believe he's a good head coach.
So do I.
He's got some, you know, I don't think he's a good person.
I don't think he's...
At all.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Okay, so like that's going to be a talking point we're going to have to get into at some point if they do hire him. Point is, door not closed on Kidd. So maybe not so fast. Maybe it's not just Jenkins and Mike Brown who they might be meeting with this week. Maybe there is still a possibility, according to Ian Begley, of Jason Kidd.
All right. So, I mean, it's fluid here. It's been a bit of a frustrating 10 days or so. I mean, here's where we're at. Knicks have been denied permission to speak to Udoka, Finch, Kidd up until now, Snyder, and Billy Donovan. That came last week, Snyder and Billy. Right. So I love Billy in college. I don't think he's done a good job in the NBA. Not interested. And Quint Snyder to me is good, but it looks like it's not going to happen. And this week with Brown and Tyler Jenkins coming in, I like both. The more I thought about this, I was kind of leaning a little bit more toward, of the two, kind of leaning a little bit more toward Mike Brown. The more I think about it and the more I examine some of the stuff and just read a lot over the weekend, to me, I think I'm probably going to flip that. And not saying that I think the Knicks will hire Tyler Jenkins, but if they were to hire Jenkins over Brown, putting Kidd aside for a moment, I actually think that would be really interesting. He's coming with some new age offensive stuff.
I don't want Mike Brown.
Okay, why though? I just think he's a retread?
Yes, like, yes, exactly.
I mean, and he is. I mean, the Kings whacked him. Doesn't mean they did the right thing.
I used to like retread guys. Now I don't want that.
Well, if there's one thing that gets me the least excited in any like coaching hire is a retread.
Right.
Like, to me, retreads don't inspire me. I mean, yeah, you're good enough to keep getting recycled and brought back in as a bit of a stopgap or a Band-Aid. But to me, retreads aren't elevators. And the reason why the Knicks directly moved on from Tom Thibodeau, and I supported the move, and I still do, is because they needed an elevator, not a retread. Because the stabilization was put forth and put in motion 5 years ago when they hired Tom Thibodeau. That's already done.
You think Taylor Jenkins is an elevator?
I do. Offensively from Tom Thibodeau, 1,000%.
Yeah,
no
offensively.
Question.
Okay. All right, so yes. You're intrigued by the offense.
I am. And by the way, Mike Brown's an offensive guy,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I know. But I just don't. I'd rather have Taylor Jenkins. If I had to pick between those two,
yep.
I think Jenkins intrigues me more. I'm over the Mike Brown thing, right or wrong.
I think a lot of people feel the way you do with Mike Brown.
Like, at least with Jenkins, there seems to be more of
a newness, an unknown,
yes.
Like an upside, a ceiling.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. He's younger, by the way.
Also, maybe doing more with less. He didn't have LeBron. Like,
yeah,
that's how Mike
that's
Brown,
true.
You
true.
Know what I'm saying?
Well, he was doing pretty good things in Sacramento before I thought foolishly fired him. But, yeah, I think Mike Brown is a competent NBA coach. Jenkins, and his teams also had some top 10 defensive teams there. So he's bringing some defensive principles. Obviously, that's what Tom Thibodeau's all about.
Why did he get fired?
I don't know.
Yeah, we got to look more into that. Maybe,
I honestly don't know. But if I gave you the names, I know Brown's third for you. Put him, all right, put in order of interest to you. Kidd, Brown, this is not my order. Kidd, Brown, Jenkins, and
Johnny Bryant.
I guess Bryant's in there. I'm trying to get five. Bryant, Mike Brown, Kidd, Jenkins, and let's say Jay Wright. Let's just throw Jay Wright out there.
Why not throw Van Gundy? Jay Wright's not happening.
Well, neither is Jeff Van Gundy.
You know, there was something else that's not happening.
A caller called
in this morning to Boomer and Geo.
Yeah.
And brought up Jay Wright again. He's like, oh, I called the guys in the midday. I called the morning show, and you guys both hung up on me with Jay Wright. Yeah, well, there's a reason for it.
Yeah.
Not happening. Like, you could talk about it all you want. And he was saying that they should give him $20 million and make him come back. Jay Wright doesn't want to do it, so it's not happening. The other part that he said, he wanted to see you and I take on Boomer and Gio in golf.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, with him. And then Gio's like, well, Gio seemed open to it at first, and then he mentioned that maybe I've played 5 rounds of golf my whole life, and Boomer's like, oh, I'm not doing that.
What?
For the record, I've played more than 5 rounds.
Wait. So it wasn't because they didn't think that they would do well.
No.
They just dismissed us?
Correct. Your injury, they referenced your injury.
Mm.
And then they referenced my, like, lack of either care for golf or just lack of experience.
Understood. I mean, if Gio would like to put his 103 on the line, I mean, by all means.
Oh, there we go.
I mean, come on.
Now we're talking.
I mean, Gio's talking like he's going out there shooting in the mid-70s. Great.
Yeah, there we go.
I know you love the game. Doesn't mean you're good at it.
I like it. See, this is what I want to get a little fire there.
I mean, listen, I know Boomer's got some stick. Boomer to me. I don't know if Boomer's still going for the tips. You know, at his age, maybe he's going to move up a little box.
I'll outdrive him, too. You got to carry us the rest of the way. I'm not
carrying anybody. I'll still show up, but if I lose, I mean, I have no problem taking it on the chin.
No, you can't be backing off.
No, I'm not. No, I just said I have no problem showing up.
How's the shoulder?
Everything hurts. I'll show up. I'll take 5 Advil. I'm gonna putt. I'm gonna putt and ship lefty. I'm gonna hit the ball righty. No, I will show up and play.
Yeah, you might be invited. I will not. Boomer just dismissed me immediately.
Did he really?
Gio's like, yeah, Sal might have played 5 rounds of golf his whole life, and Boomer's like, oh, I'm not playing with those guys.
But he plays with Greg when Greg first started playing. I know Greg's
different. That's his guy.
Well, it's his partner. It's his guy. And he probably felt a sense of power, like, hey, I'm showing Gio the ropes. Yeah, hey, this is how you grip the club. You know, yeah. Come on, partner. This is how you swing. Hey, they're going to have to give us a couple of strokes because Boomer is a lot better than all the other three, me, you, and Gio. But they want to put something on the table here. Set it up.
All right. I knew that would get your attention there. We'll come back. On. We'll get into the other stuff with the Knicks. Because
they can't dismiss us that easily.
Go back and listen to it on the Free Odyssey.
I'm going to have to.
I can't tell you how excited I am about Jenkins and Mike Brown. I just can't tell you how I'm just so excited. I mean, I don't know. I'm tired of I'm tired of getting frustrated by it. I'm tired of yelling about it, but I just got to tell you. I mean, I don't know. I understand you felt you had to move on from Tibbs. If you were one of those guys, you felt like you needed to move on from Tibbs. Like, you can make a compelling case. I disagree with you. I don't think I could be convinced that moving on from Tibbs was the best thing for the franchise in this moment. I would have kept him another year, but there are arguments to be made. I'll push back on them, but I get it. But I don't know how in the world, like, you can really tell me that if they, like, the charade they went through and getting all the doors slammed in their face, and reports are that they weren't even just told no, it was like, hell no, bleep no. Owners answering the phone going, don't bother to call here again. For guys like Quinn Snyder and Billy Donovan, yeah, he's won a championship in college. He won two championships in college, but... like, is that the kind of coach that you need to embarrass yourself for? And then when you first get your chance to talk to guys who are available, it's, you know, it's Mike Brown. I'm not saying he's a bad coach. He did a good job. You know, he had his run in Cleveland. He had a good job with the Kings. He's not a terrible coach. But, like, Tibbs to Mike Brown, you feel excited about that? From Tibbs to Jenkins, you feel excited about that because of his run with Memphis? Like, I don't know. These are the first two candidates they look at. It's just going to be a hard sell for me, man. I am just... let's just get to it. Hire the damn coach. Let's see how it works. Obviously, now you're hearing the reports from Mark Spears that Kevin Durant wanted to come to the Knicks this time around, was interested in getting shipped to the Knicks in this offseason, but the Knicks aren't interested in it. I understand that, and I know many fans feel that way and are glad the Knicks feel that way. I would be a little bit more open to it than some people. I still believe in Kevin Durant, even at 37 years old. You know, he can get his own shot. He's a willing defender. I mean, I think it's a different dynamic that might really work well with Brunson, but not going to happen. Knicks aren't interested, so we'll see if there's any changes to this roster other than bolstering some of the bench. You got everybody... you got everybody now coming out of the woodwork, whether it's Rivers or, you know, was it another player? I just had it on the tip of my tongue. Somebody else coming out talking about his the reaction with Tibbs, and we thought we would have a contract. Was it Marcus Cousins? I forget. He told me he'd rather have Derrick Rose when it came to Rivers and all this stuff. So now out of the woodwork comes everybody who had problems with Tibbs in the past and problems with Leon Rose. And it just feels like, man, the Knicks, while we're watching the Indiana Pacers, who they did lose game five, obviously, and are now down 3-2 as they kept it close and made it, I think they got it to within 2 points in the fourth quarter, only to have the game pull away from them in the fourth, but still a decent enough showing. Halliburton would have 0 points in the first half, an embarrassing first half for him. He's dealing with an injury. But as we're watching the Indiana Pacers and the Thunder play, it feels like there are two stories in the NBA right now. Two stories in the NBA. As obviously Jalen Williams went off for 40 last night. SGA had 31, and the Pacers fell to the Oklahoma City 120-109. Halliburton has 4 points on the game, 0-6 from the floor. 0-4, obviously, from three. They had a ugly game, but they did get it to within two in the end, which is what they do. But as we watch that, there are two stories in the NBA. There's the NBA Finals, and there's the ineptitude of the Knicks in their coaching search. That's what it feels like, whether that's fair or not. And someone tweeted at me today that Evan said the Knicks have handled this search perfectly. I can't even imagine someone feeling that way. Like, you could be on the other side. You could feel like I'm over the top on it. You could feel like the noise around it from people who agree with me and think like me have been way too much, and that it's not that embarrassing to have five coaches, you know, and five organizations tell you no and slam the door in your face. Maybe you feel that way. How in the world could you tell me this was handled perfectly? This is what you want? You want Charles Barkley laughing? You want Shams mocking you in interviews? You want to be like the ineptitude of the Knicks being the second biggest story in the NBA alongside the NBA Finals? Like, that's what it feels like. And that's handling it perfectly, as they might hire Mike Brown?
Ugh.
Are you really, honestly, Knicks fans, call me up, let me know. 888-808-1019. We're going to get to the calls in just a second. Like, are you excited at either of these guys? Like, to any of these names left, unless it's a Jason Kidd, unless it's a name now out of nowhere. And I still think Jason Kidd is a very strong possibility. And I have to admit, if it ends up with Jason Kidd, I'll feel like whatever the case, whatever happened, I'm fine with Jason Kidd being the next head coach of the Knicks. So that's fine. I'm excited about that. I can get excited about Jason Kidd. I can. You might think he's terrible. He might be terrible. I have no idea. But Jason Kidd kind of excites me a little bit. Who he is, how smart he is. You know, he took a team to the NBA Finals in the Dallas Mavericks. He's worked with Brunson before. You know, he knows the market. Brooklyn, he's in New Jersey, obviously, with the Knicks in his final season. I can buy Kidd as a legitimately good hire. I don't know how excited I am that Tibbs isn't on the sideline and Mike Brown's going to be walking around. I don't know how excited I am that Taylor Jenkins is going to be walking around. I don't know. They might end up being great, perfect fits and take this team on to a different level. Maybe. But it is hard to fathom. It is hard to get excited about. It is hard not to just be like, man, this is the most disappointing. Even though they lost to the Indiana Pacers, it felt like we should have been riding some momentum. It felt like we should have been happier about this season. It felt like there was, you could have told yourself something's brewing with the Knicks. And instead, right now, from the highs of beating the Celtics, it's a cratering out. It's a complete feeling of like, man, we fired the coach. We don't know who the hell to hire. They're gonna hire one of two guys, maybe. I know that's just they're just starting to talk to him. Yeah, take your time. You know, I saw someone put out a story. It's like, oh, everyone's killing the Knicks for taking so long. Do you remember? And they were putting out stories about how the Lakers hired J.J. Redick 2 months after that. You're bragging about the idea. It took you 2 months to hire J.J. Redick. That's, hey, other franchises get to, you know, take their time with coaches. Yeah, and they came up with J.J. Redick. I don't think I don't need 2 months to hire, you know, J.J. Redick or Mike Brown or Taylor Jenkins. They don't need 2 months to do that. I know they're alone in this search. I know there's not another team looking for a head coach, and they have all these wonderful candidates all to themselves. What a wonderful candidate they have in Mike Brown. I mean, I'm having a real tough time getting excited about the idea of what's happening with the New York Knicks. I just am.
Lakers being sold in what was a surprise, as the Buss family is now selling their majority stake in the Lakers to Mark Walter, who's the head of the investment group that also owns the Dodgers. And the number is staggering. It is $10 billion.
And it does not include crypto.com center. That's the old Staples Center.
Right.
That is now crypto.com center. It doesn't include that. It only includes a majority stake in the Dodgers.
The Lakers.
The Lakers, which is mind-blowing to me. You know, when the Celtics were sold for $6.1 billion, it did not include the garden up there, or TD, whatever they call it, TD Bank Garden. It didn't include that. So now, let's just say for a second, Jim Dolan sees this, and let's say Jim Dolan wants to sell. Remember, he sold Cablevision at its highest point.
Mm-hmm.
I think he sold it for close to $1 billion, maybe $800 million. I mean, this would be the time to do it, especially because not only does he have the Knicks, the Rangers, but he also controls and owns MSG. Now, MSG and the state of New York and, of course, the city of New York City are trying to figure out a way to build a new Pennsylvania train station. And Donald Trump's all aboard on that. And he wants to be a part of that. And that would mean that they would have to move Madison Square Garden. And there's just a lot of angst and stress around, you know, the tax abatements that are associated with the garden. Where would they move the garden? I mean, like, there's all these different plans out there. And I would just think that if you're Jim Dolan and you're sitting there and you're looking at this and you're saying to yourself, man, the Celtics won for 6.1. The Lakers just won for 10 without the buildings. How much are the Rangers and the Knicks and the building? And he also, of course, owns and runs Radio City Music Hall. And maybe, and I know he's building, I think, another sphere either in Abu Dhabi or somewhere, United Arab Emirates, I'm not sure. But, I mean, I can't imagine how much this would go for.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you start at double that number for the Dodgers. You start there and then probably go up from there if you're talking about multiple buildings and Radio City Music Hall
and
included.
The network.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a lot going on there. I don't see Jim Dolan selling. I think Jim Dolan loves being the owner. He hates when people say sell the team. He is a prideful guy. I know that money drives every decision. I just think that he sees this. He's interested, but I really don't see him selling. Now, I thought more of the Steinbrenner family when I saw this yesterday, more than Jim Dolan, because I feel like Jim Dolan's going to hold on to that thing like his baby for the rest of his life, and he's allowed to do that. But the Steinbrenner family, you know, is not like a guy like Mark Walter. You know, they're a wealthy family. There's no doubt about it. But there are people out there like Steve Cohen, like Mark Walter, who could come in and buy the Yankees from the Steinbrenners at this point in their life, and they could cash out in a massive, massive way. Now, how much would that franchise be worth? And that would have to include the building as well. I mean, are we talking 10 to 15?
I mean, just a real estate alone, man. I'm just telling you, the whole want to redo Penn Station and to create it as a transportation hub that is like second to none in the world. There's a lot of that driving, I think, you know, the move of Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, sure. But
I remember Jim Dolan put $2 billion back into the garden himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, listen, it's got to be tempting for sure, especially with a couple of franchises. You know, and I wonder how much the Yankees ownership and the Steinbrenners look at this and say maybe this is the time. Maybe, you know, they don't love going over the luxury tax. You know, Hal is not someone who likes to be in the spotlight like his dad was.
Oh God, I'll tell you.
Talking about a selling at the highest point situation.
Cuban got out, Snyder got out. Now Jeannie Buss is getting out. I know Snyder was kind of forced out, but still he got out.
Yeah.
At Eaton, they sold for $6.5 billion. And they have a crappy stadium situation.
We're missing one, aren't we? There's another one, I felt like.
The Celtics.
Yeah. Yes.
Celtics got out. The Lakers got out. The Mavericks, he divested. And so did Dan Snyder. Yeah. I'm sure that. And now the Tampa Bay Rays are up for sale.
Mm. Yeah. Broncos was another one.
The Walton family bought them.
Right.
Now, I'm assuming that, I don't know who owns that stadium. I don't know if that's privately held or if it's some sort of publicly partnership with the ownership there. I'm not sure. But all I know is that the Knicks, Rangers, and the Garden.
Yeah.
I don't know what that number would be. I really don't. And that's, you know, that's, he's one of the most powerful owners in all of sports.
Yeah, and I know that he loves being that. I mean, as you see him leaving the garden during the Knicks playoff run and sending the basketballs out the window of the SUVs to kids. I mean, he loves every bit of it. So You know, he may be able to sell at his highest point, but also, I mean, maybe this isn't the highest point. You know, maybe it just continues to grow and grow and grow. It hasn't seemed to stop.
Just as it, I don't know, the numbers, obviously, this group that has decided to spend this much money on that team obviously has a business plan to make sure that they recoup their interest and their investment. But, man, I just, it's shocking, you know, when you see that number.
Yeah, and we were just talking. It's funny because this came out of nowhere, this sale. But we were just talking yesterday about deferments in NBA contracts and if you were able to do that or not. And now that was a big topic yesterday because after this sale, because obviously the Dodgers have done more deferments than anybody. And it was like, oh, I wonder if the next Lakers signees are going to be having to defer money. But I actually don't know the cap rules with the NBA. If they get how much money
I would think that there will be. And by the way, they're going to have to give Luka a new contract.
Oh, yeah. I mean, at this point, 100%.
And this whole thing is going to be built around him.
Yeah. That's why they traded for him. No doubt. So, yeah, if I'm Mark Walter, it's one of the first calls I'm making. It's all right, Luka, what are we doing, man? Put down that Bush Light apple and let's get going.
Yes. The doubt a little bit.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.